Okay, I'm here with Grant Peterson of Rivendell Cycles, who has found us a relatively quiet corner of Interbike, which I did not think existed. How you doing, Grant?
I'm doing okay, Sheldon.
So, what's new and exciting, or old and exciting, or just mildly interesting?
You mean here at the show?
You mean? Yeah, or in the Rivendell world in general.
You know, people come by our booth and see the bikes, and they usually make some comment about how cool and retro it is, and then they continue to walk on by them. And that's a little bit disturbing, but I think, you know, we're all getting used to that by now.
You ought to be.
Yeah. But, you know, overall, I think I'm a little bit disturbed by the shape of modern bikes these days. I mean that probably literally. I mean, I think the saddles are high and skinny, and the tubes are sort of out of proportion, at least for steel tubes. You know, I look at them, I'm used to slender tubes on a bike, and now the tubes aren't really tubes anymore, and they all seem to have a similar look, you know, that bladed, high-volume, carbon fiber look.
I prefer the term plastic.
They are plastic. they are plastic, but, you know, I mean, it's if they make people happy, that's good, but, you know, they aren't the kinds of bikes that make me happy, and so, but on the other hand, it probably helps Rivendell because we don't have as much competition.
No, it's true. There's not much out there. I noticed over at the QBP booth this new Blériot frame. That looked really tasty.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, that's a new frame that we're doing. It's the first frame that we've done in Taiwan, and I approached QBP about the idea of us designing a bike and having them distribute it, and the advantage to us is that we can sell it also, and we will have better delivery of the frame because they will warehouse them.
Well, that's always been an issue with your
It's a real pain in the neck.
They've got a lot deeper pockets.
Yes, they do.
And a huge warehouse.
Yes. And it's also a 650B bike, and so it's a chance for 650B to make it into the mainstream, and maybe it's not going to get a huge toehold, but maybe a baby toehold and become more available, because although there's nothing really magic about the size, it's an old established size that made sense when it came about, I think in the 40s or 50s, and it still makes sense, and it's a good bike. And the Blériot is a lug steel frame, and
very pretty.
Well, thank you.
There'll be some pictures on the website I took.
Oh, good.
And,
we're counting on that.
Yeah.
Sheldon would at least take pictures.
Yeah. I have to admit, I'm a bit of a convert to the 650B also. I have my Iro aluminum fixed gear bike originally, now set up with the 650B tires.
Yeah.
And it was never comfortable with 700Zs because it would only fit really skinny ones. But now I've got 650 by 38s, and I got fenders,
you know,
and it rides comfortably now.
There are so many bikes out there, like tight clearance 700C bikes that are just ready to be converted to 650B, but people don't know that that's an option, you know. But I know at least 50 of them have been done in the United States so far, and everybody is happy with them. You know, it doesn't change the standover height of the bike appreciably. In many cases, not at all.
I did the math on that, and as I recall, 650 by 38 and 700 by either 20 or 23 are exactly the same outside diameter.
Yeah. And so the bottom bracket height, lean angle, pedaling clearance, all that's the same. You just have suddenly a higher volume tire that you can run at lower pressures and more comfortable.
I'm real excited to see that quality is getting on the bottom bracket too, because they are the biggest and best distributor.
Yeah.
If they have it, any shop can get it.
Yeah.
And it's not going to be such a weird oddball.
Yeah, well,
retro grouch is to say the terrible term.
I don't want it to be seen as a retro thing or an oddball thing or a freaky thing at all. And I know it's maybe a little bit that way now, but quality can help that.
They can, indeed. Yeah. And there are so many of these bikes out there that people bought because they were fast, and then they discovered how uncomfortable and fragile they were.
Yeah.
And they're not riding them.
Well,
and maybe they could if they were.
The worst thing that's happening in bicycles these days, and it's been happening for years, is using racing and competition bicycles to sell bicycles to people who are not going to do that. I mean, it wouldn't happen in cars. You don't see people driving around in cars that people race on the drag strip or NASCAR cars, but that's the kind of bike that people get on and ride, and it's not a practical bike for, you know, everyday living, but people, I don't know, you know, they get caught up in the excitement of racing, and in the bike industry, as you know, everyone is sort of fretting about what's going to happen with road bike sales now that Lance Armstrong has retired. You know, and that's a pathetic way to look at it. Normal people should be able to ride bikes, and they should be able to be comfortable on a bike. Riding a bicycle is a fantastic thing, but if you have to dress like Lance, and I'm a Lance fan, by the way.
Who isn't?
If you have to dress like him and look like him and try to ride like him, you are not going to have a fun time on a bike. I would have a miserable... The most miserable rides I ever do are the ones where I try to go fast. And I try to go fast about once a week, and those are the rides that I don't like. But, you know, I'm caught up in it a little bit. Everybody is.
Sure. It really bothers me, the concept that you need to wear special clothing to ride a bicycle.
Oh, I think that's what keeps people off of bikes. I mean, if you had to wear an oddball uniform to go buy a McDonald's hamburger, McDonald's would go out of business.
A good point.
And people who don't ride bikes now want to ride a bike, but they don't want to have to change who they are, their whole look. The look that you have, it may seem casual. I mean, what I'm wearing now may seem casual, but there's a certain amount of calculation in it.
You know, he's actually wearing a cutaway coat, a white tie, and a brilliant white shirt front, and patent leather shoes, but you folks can't see that. Yes.
You know, when somebody goes into a bike shop and they just want to buy a bike, they're investigating bicycles. They're not a bicycle person. But they think, well, I'm not going to be a runner, and I want to get some exercise, and riding a bike seems fun, and I used to do it when I was a kid, so I want to do it now.
Yeah.
And then they go into a bike shop, and if somehow it becomes clear during the interrogation that they have a certain amount of money to spend, then it's guaranteed that they're going to be sold. Clipless pedals and the whole uniform. And they may get a road bike, and if they live in a hilly area, the gears are going to be too high for them. Tires are going to be skinny, and intuitively they will think, boy, those tires are skinny, but they'll put so much trust in, I guess, the thought behind the bike, they'll think, well, this must be the way it is.
Yeah.
I mean, they wouldn't sell me a bike that wasn't practical, but in fact, a lot of the impractical bikes do get sold.
Yeah.
I don't know what hope there is.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Lately, I see a lot of these wheels that are coming out that have like a dozen or 16 spokes and so on. That really bugs me because people think it's a feature that they're getting these wheels, but actually what it is the manufacturer did not want to spring for genuine Shimano hubs.
Oh, sure.
So they got this off-brand stuff with just a couple spokes, and it looks racy, but the fact is it's not going to hold up, and if the hub breaks down, you can't get replacement parts for it.
And it takes half the time to build if it's got half the number of spokes.
That's true.
And the cost of any wheel, a huge cost of it, is in the labor to build it. And if they can reduce the number of spokes from 32 to 16 or to 20, they save a lot of labor. And you have to think, what are you gaining? A little bit of aerodynamics, but
that's basically it, because when you don't have that many spokes, you need to have a heavier, stronger rim to hold the whole thing together. And they're not really any lighter in most cases.
No, they aren't lighter, and the aerodynamics don't make a difference. I mean, how much do you hate riding that your 10-mile ride has to take you 15 seconds less? I mean, what is the whole point?
That's a good point.
And it goes back to people not dignifying riding a bicycle unless it's in high-performance terms.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't have to be like that. It's that way maybe only in the United States. I'm not all that well-traveled, but, you know, when I see pictures of people riding in other countries, I don't see that happening. But if you think of a bicycle rider in the United States, that's what you think of. You think of somebody who is living in another world where he or she is a fast bicycle racer, and they're really just going out for a bicycle ride.
Well, thank you very much, Grant. It's been good talking to you.
Nice talking to you, Sheldon.